JBQ. Is anyone on frequency? KK4 JBQ.
KO4HK.
Well, hello there, Patrick. I just had to talk to somebody tonight. I missed the net entirely. I was in a phone call with, one of my favorite aunts. I have two that think a great deal of me, and I think a great deal of them, and we talk on occasion, so I was involved in a phone call that lasted almost 2 hours. Couldn't plan for that now, could I? And I haven't missed a net in, quite a long time. Anyway, it is good that you came back to me. Thank you.
Ariel called a good net tonight. A little quick. No rag chewers, but understandable if you had a 2-hour phone call.
Yeah, I missed the net. It's more than a ritual. I can understand how some people might see it that way, that I feel some kind of compulsion. But I take seriously the net should be an hour, at least that, to give everybody a chance to show up. You know, where people are spread far and wide doing all manner of things. And it starts at 9 o'clock. I'm well aware. I've got an alarm set here. It goes off every night at 8:58. Giving me 2 minutes to get the machine turned on and get myself prepared, settled in, got a fresh cup of coffee. And, you know, it's kind of a thing with me. Maybe it becomes that way with many people. I don't know. But I was feeling a little guilty for not being there. It's a promise I made to myself, you know. KK4 JBQ.
I know all of us appreciate it when we've got loyal check-ins that come into the net, and you get to expecting that, and when they're not there, you're wondering what's happening. So I'm sure a lot of people were concerned when you didn't check in tonight.
Us too. And while that's a fine thing, if you are otherwise committed to something and nobody else knows that. And I just wanted to make sure that somebody knew that. Whoever it was that would come back to me. And I'd have my chance at least to make that known. And then Donna and I had quite a conversation after the call. This aunt is... I have a favorite, you might say. Favorite, but just how things worked out. She's one of the last surviving aunts, and the other is the last surviving aunt. One on my father's side, she called tonight, and one on my mother's side. It balances out, it works out. They're totally different people, but they both love me like nobody. Like I don't have any right to be loved as deeply as they do. One is 90, and the other is 86. So I was taught, and I've learned to have the two of them. I was taught to respect them, and I enjoy them. They're, as I say, very different. And the aunt that I spoke with tonight, it's hard for me to get a word in. And I imagine that. Now, just imagine that. It's hard for me to get a word in.
For HKX. Well, Larry, that's got to be some more ant to make that an accomplishment. And it's good to hear that you still got family like that. I know my mom's aunt, her older sister, she'll text me from time to time just to check on me and see how things are going. Just out of the blue sometimes, you know, check on each other. Well, I hope, well, I've not just said outright, because that sometimes isn't appropriate, maybe. But I hope they realize how much I love them. I always end the phone call that way to both of them. I was raised in a very quirky situation. Unique in my knowledge of people. I won't bore you with the details, but I was raised a very ignorant child. Since it's just you and me, I'm going to treat this phone call like it's a phone call. I'm going to treat this QSO like it's just you and me and discuss something I don't usually go into because it's germane to how I'd like to explain. When I was 13 years old, my family, all Baptists, I don't know the denomination that you favor, but I was raised in the Baptist church, but not knowing anything. And I was 13 years old, and my mama told me, it's time you were baptized. And I had never heard, honestly, I'd never heard of baptism. As I say, I was ignorant. You can almost consider that a blank slate. I was not taught about the church. I was not taught about the customs of the church. I certainly wasn't taught. I was not taught that at 13 you reach what is known as the age of accountability and you better be baptized shortly after. Well, it was pretty scary to me. My grandfather was the local minister. He would be the one to put me under the water. And that's just a crack in the door to help you, I hope, understand how ignorant I was. Anyway, I hope you understood that. KK4JBQ.
For HGX. And I will give you a little bit of mine, and that'll help you understand that I do understand where you're at. I was not raised in church at all. I didn't attend church maybe five times until I met my wife. And I was 18 years old at that time. And went to church with her, and that's when I found out about all that. Started finding out. I ended up with getting saved and then baptized and made my way in to the church that way. So I was very ignorant or unlearned of the customs and history of how that went.
So we traveled a similar road. And maybe that's why. You know, I don't question why it is that you were the one close to your radio. That your radio was on, that you heard me and you came back. I don't question that. Not anymore. Things happen in such a way that if you know enough about the front and the back, if you will, then you understand why certain things do happen. You don't question it anymore. You don't marvel at it. It just happens. So, there was a time, and this is what I really like to discuss with you. There was a time that my grandfather, called him Papa. Everyone has a cute name. And I understand from Chad that it's customary in
in families to let the children name the grandfather.
Well, I was just told what his name was, and it was just a family way of referring to your grandfather, Papa. And my grandmother was Mamaw. But I've learned, well, actually pretty recently, some long conversations with Chad helped me out because he has different words, and he was about to become a grandfather. And he said, well, now in our family, we let the children name us the name that we'll be known as by everybody. Makes good sense, I suppose. But at one time, my papa set me down, and he said, Larry, have you ever felt a call? And then he had to explain what he meant. And I says, well, you know, I'm not really sure. But just tonight, I realized that something else you may not know about me, but you need to know this. Growing up, I had a speech impediment. I stuttered horribly. I could not get a thought out. It hurts to remember that even now. I won't go into how it was the love and the care of one of our housekeepers. My mother and dad were mill workers, worked in a cotton mill all their working life, and could not spend time with the children. So, for a birthday, I got one of those easels that kids used to have at the time. There was a chalkboard on one side and a felt board on the other side. And you could put letters up, you know, or you could write on the board. Well, she taught me how to stop the run-on of stuttering. And I will forever be grateful to that woman. My mama didn't know what to do. My dad didn't know what to do. And I carried this. In my young life, and it was something I wanted so badly to overcome. Well, so when my grandfather asked me, have you got a call? Do you feel called? He explained what that meant, and I couldn't answer. I was too young to understand. But lately I've been given a concern that perhaps I missed an opportunity and I missed a call. Because it's pretty obvious to me that I can speak. And I got a pretty good thinker, but the years have passed. And I'm not, it's not that I doubt that I have years left that I could serve, but I don't know how I would start. So there it is, I've confessed something to you. I'll trust you with that. And maybe there's a purpose in this that I don't understand yet. Anyway, there you are. KK4JBQ.
KO4HDX. Well, Larry, I appreciate you trusting me with that. And the only advice I could give you is talk to your pastor. He could tell you where to start with that and how to approach it, how to handle it, because he's been there. He's done that. And he'll know how to guide you through that situation or that calling. And yes, I do understand what you're saying when you say that. I'm very familiar with it. And I think listening to you talk and your love of people, that you would make a very good pastor and very passionate about it.
In that case, I will tell you of a time, maybe 25 years ago, when I also realized something that I never knew was possible. I was given words to speak. And I'll explain it this way. I was in the church early, went to the mailboxes. We all had a mailbox, and that's how we communicated with the congregation, which was quite a large congregation, but news and everything from little notes, for whatever reason, or Christmas cards. That's where we exchanged Christmas cards, save the postage, you know. A communication center of sorts. So I was in there, and I was putting some things in, not taking them out and checking my own, but I was putting things in because I was the president of the congregation at that time. It's before we moved here. And I heard somebody else in the church. Now, I had a key to the church. Being president of the congregation, I had a key to the church, but I didn't know who else might have a key. And I was a little concerned because I locked the door behind me. This is long before anybody should be coming into the church, anyone else. So I went toward the sound, and I found sitting on a bench outside the sanctuary the oldest member of the congregation. And I said, well, I'll call her Abby. I said, Abby, is that you? She said, yeah, Larry, I recognize your voice. It was kind of, you know, it hadn't broke daylight yet. And it was, church was kind of dark, and I'd walking into a darkened room, a darkened area of the church. And so I says, well, yeah, that's me. But how come you're here? She says, that's my problem. She was 98 years old and didn't know why she was still here. I had asked her, not knowing, I had asked her the question that was on her mind. So I sat down and I put my arm around her and I said, in a very comforting way, I tried to say, you're here for the rest of us. That's why. And we're here together for some purpose. Well, that was enough, and that's all I had to say at the time. But I was given other words to speak. I did not come up with these. I first heard what to say, and then I said it to her. And oh boy, that rattled me. Without going into the conversation, it was just what she needed to hear. It comforted her. Now later, this is important, later I heard that every one of us has a ministry. Every one of us has a purpose for being here. And it's almost always directly related to others around us. I believe that's the truth. Whether it be a member of your family, family or a member of your church or a member of, you know, whoever needs you. But I learned that I would be given the words. And I would learn that it's almost spooky the way the words come to you. Well, perhaps that's enough. Enough about me, anyway. I'm very pleased that I was able to speak with you about it. KK4JPQ.
Yeah, I'm glad you feel comfortable enough with me to talk to me about that. I'm honored. And yes, we are here not just for ourselves, but whoever we come in contact with, and he will give us what we need to say and tell us when to say it when we're in those situations. And it's amazing what will come back to your memory or come to your mind when that happens. It's just a miracle that there's things that I've read, I've listened to, or talked to other people and haven't thought about them in years. And then when I enter a conversation like this one, and those things come flooding back at that time, and, you know, that's the Lord doing that. I mean, he's calling it back to your memory for a reason, giving you what you need to say. And it's a miraculous, marvelous thing when he does that.
What I understand of this is that the usual phrase that people use is that there are mysterious ways. Well, the truth of the matter is, it's not a mystery for long. It becomes very clear to you. It's a mystery maybe to others, certain others, most certainly to some others. Why you feel that that didn't come out of you, you know, that you didn't come up with that, but you put yourself, or perhaps I should say it this way, you find yourself in a place where a certain need is just as obvious to you as and clear, and you pause for a moment, purposely pause your own thinking, clear your mind, and the right thing comes to you. Words that you wouldn't have found any other place. Now, understand, when I entered school, I still had, and still was still working on cleaning up my speech. I struggled with this all the way through. Oh, maybe third grade. And there were times that, you know, we had to read out loud in turn. You know, you maybe, I don't know how school was taught in your day or in your school, for that matter. But we would read. Oh, a book that everybody, really, many people, I'm sure, to hear their own voice reading from the book. So I still struggled with it for some time. A certain ability to speak from your own, from the depth of yourself, from your own life experiences, let's say. That comes when you've had a little bit of life, when you've had a little time here, and you've had some experiences that meant something to you, then you could relate it to other people, but not before. Not before then. But this was I was totally at a loss and had nothing to say, but I knew that she had a great need. She would be with us another couple of years. And we would be fast friends the whole time. But But that was enough. That was enough to give me the concern about whether what my grandfather had said so many years earlier was not just something that he pulled out of his hat. My grandfather always wore a hat. It's not encouraged for people to speak of such things over the air, perhaps because there are people listening who might be offended. I don't know. But it just keeps peace among us, which is promoted in this hobby of ours. But if it's a hobby and a service, we can be of service to some people in particular ways. And I do feel that a gift has been there, perhaps unopened, but that the gift has been there. And I'm just expressing it in a certain way at the moment. I can start, after I've agreed that I'll comment during Rag 2. I don't know what I'm going to say. But, you know, I have talked for a long time and perhaps held the mic more than I should. I feel guilty about that from time to time. You've been there with me. You understand? KK4JBQ.
We're HKX. Well, Larry, I have been there with you, and I will admit, I feel guilty sometimes myself by hogging the repeater so much, because during the day I like to talk. It breaks the monotony for me with what I do, where I'm by myself moving around quite a bit, and it's nice to reach out and make friends and talk to somebody and, you know, just to break up the day for me. But yes, I have been there, and sometimes I'm with you. I feel like I talk too much, and there's days that I sit back and listen, and I don't key up the mic. But I'm usually listening to the repeater from about 4:30 in the morning till right around 11 o'clock when I go to bed. I'm generally around somewhere. May not always have it up where I can hear it. I might be watching TV or, dealing with customers. But I'm always trying to listen, because you never know. Somebody just like this may just need somebody to talk to. Somebody may need help. Just some advice on something. And I want to try to help where I can.
Tell you what occurs to me from what you said. There are times when you just don't know what to say. You don't have anything to say. Your thinker is not cooperating. So I can say from my experience that you just need to be quiet. JBQ, just be quiet. And if you allow that, it can be a moment. But it can be more confusing than a moment would allow. It has to be longer. You have to, observe. Listen to the room. Whomever is speaking, however many people are speaking, what's central? What one thing can speak to everybody? And that won't be hard to figure out. If I can use a certain word, if you're sensitive to what people are saying, if you find some common link that seems to be concerning a number of people, Then you're on target, at least. Might have to zero in a little more, but you're on target. But anyhow, I've gotten a bunch off my chest, as it were. And I didn't know I'd be saying these things. I didn't know. No plan. That's one of the amazing things. That the words are there, that I can hear them before I say them. Now you can get into trouble like that. Don't know if I should go here, but I'm going there. Donna is not as well spoken. She's more highly educated than myself, but she must think long and hard before committing to words. She doesn't just toss it out in the air like I do. Does it sound like I have struggled with the next thought? No, sir. It's there. It's ready to jump right out. Now, it's considered, it's guarded, only to be precise. To speak to the point, is what I'm saying. Otherwise, it can be gibberish and not well understood by the very people that you want so badly to understand you. So, Donna and I still have some work. We've been married 31 years just recently, celebrated an anniversary, and we still had to work on this. I still have to allow the time that it takes her to gather her thoughts. And in that meantime, I could most certainly have said all I wanted to say about that and gone on to something else already. I know you're a good husband. I just have that gut feeling. So I know you know what I'm talking about. KK4 JVQ.
Okay, I've been married 28 years, so I'm right there behind you. And, yeah, my wife, she is one of those that likes to think about what she's going to say, too. So I definitely understand. And, sometimes I wish I would think about what I'm going to say a little longer before I say it. Get caught up in the heat of the moment. But I will say this. That's one thing the hobby has taught me. To slow down. To enjoy the conversation. To think about it before you just blurt something out. And sometimes just sit and listen. You can learn a lot from just sitting and listening, and before you even have to speak or say anything. So I've learned that from the hobby over the last almost 4 years. So it has been a real pleasure to meet everybody and get to know the community, my extended community, because it's reach way past what you can with just, you know, your local community now that we have access to the repeater and the airwaves. So it's amazing, and you need to stop and think about what you're saying before you just blurt something out a lot of times. Because just like me, I'm sure you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. You don't want to offend anybody. It's not done intentional. But I don't know, it's taught me a lot about a conversation.
Good point. Really. That's a very sharp point. Brings to my mind something tragic. Years ago, I was with a girlfriend of mine, and she had brought along a friend of hers. And I don't know how, oh, gracious, I don't know, to the issue of suicide. Now, that's a subject that only comes up at certain times when it's on a person's mind. Some note of that, but I didn't. I just went blithely on saying what I thought about suicide, but mostly what I'd been taught about suicide. What I did not know was that my girlfriend's friend, who was having a meal with us, was a child who had lost her father to suicide. And she told me exactly why. Now this, I was just rattled from the moment she opened her mouth with that confession and went on to tell me that I didn't know what I was talking about. That her father was in a hard place, in a corner, you might say. He didn't know what to do to support his family. So all he could come up with was, in essence, now, I'm not making any judgments here, just the facts as they came to me. He saw no other way to support his family, so he cooked up a way to get around the usual difficulty it would be to collect on insurance after suicide. He faked his own accident, you might say. And his family was aware of that. And this mutual friend did not know me very well, but that came down around my ears. And it didn't, I might have got around to saying much of what I had already said, but in a way that would have been more considerate. I didn't know. And I always remember that night. It was probably 1977, a lot of years ago. Still with me. KK4JBQ.
Well, Larry, I'm going to leave you with this, and I'm going to have to get in the bed, get ready to go. Sometimes lessons are learned the hard way. That way you don't forget them. I know used to when I was training new technicians, I would let them make mistakes. As long as they weren't going to get hurt or hurt somebody, I would let them make mistakes. That way they knew not to do that again. And they learned from it. It was a basis you build off of. Just like your situation. You made a mistake because you spoke too quickly. And you may have offended somebody or hurt somebody. Or not done it as compassionately as you could have. You learned from that. You grew. And now, look at what it does for you. It slows you down and it gives you a different outlook on that conversation. Still today, what, 30, almost 40 years later. So that was a big learning time for you.
That's the very beginning of a greater compassion for the way other people think. They always have a reason for thinking the way they do. They have a personal experience that you just don't have access to. You can't. We don't carry around a billboard with what's going through our mind for everybody else to see and everybody else to know. That comes to each of us through the filter that language is, everyone's facility for using our language is different. I chain words together quite easily, and that's one of the gifts that comes from the impediment. I knew that was one way I could get over it, to chain words together, and it served me well. But I still can't teach you compassion. It was a catastrophic moment. I realized that I deeply hurt this person, and I regretted it. But I did learn from it, and I guess it's in our conversation now because, well, I don't know why. I tell you, I don't know why. But you're exactly right. It was a learning time for me, and I've never forgotten that because of the severity of the harm. Now, she probably got over it. And, you know, what does this guy know? And I hope that's true. Because what did I know? I know better. I know better now. Thank you for coming back to me, and thank you for the conversation. It's been a great pleasure. Get yourself some good rest, and I hope tomorrow is a marvelous day in some way. KK4JDQ.
I have thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. I'm glad I decided to come back to you this evening. I've enjoyed it, learned from it, grew from it, and that's what we're here for. So thank you for that. But I am going to leave you with that so I can get some rest so that I'm not dragging all day tomorrow. And I do appreciate it and look forward to many more conversations with you down the log. So Larry, good night. 73-KO4HK, and I'll be clear.
KK4JPQ. I'm clear.